The Old Testament reading for the seventh Sunday after Trinity is from Genesis chapter 2. Then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living creature. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made to spring up every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. A river flowed out of Eden to water the garden, and there it divided and became four rivers. The name of the first is the Pishon. It is the one that flowed out of the whole flowed around the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold, and the gold of that land is good. Delium and onyx stone are there. The name of the second river is the Gihon. It is the one that flowed around the whole land of Cush. And the name of the third river is the Tigris, which flows east of Assyria. And the fourth river is the Euphrates. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Romans chapter 6. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness leading to sanctification. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? The end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification, and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Gospel according to St. Mark, the 8th chapter. In those days when again a great crowd had gathered, and they had nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said to them, "I have compassion on the crowd, because they have been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way. And some of them have come from far away." And his disciples answered him, "How can one feed these people with bread here in this desolate place?" And he asked them, "How many loaves do you have?" They said, "Seven." And he directed the crowd to sit down on the ground. And he took the seven loaves, and having given thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples to set before the people. And they set them before the crowd. And they had a few small fish. And having blessed them, he said that these also should be set before them. And they ate and were satisfied. And they took up the broken pieces left over, seven baskets full. And there were about 4,000 people, and he sent them away. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. You may be seated. I apologize, my voice is kind of coming and going this morning. It's not like I have to talk for a living. So we continue in this Trinity season. I mentioned last week that we're kind of in that part of the church year as we progress that our Lord is teaching us about various things about life in this world. And today, Jesus is teaching his people again, and you are included in that. So we have this miracle worked by Jesus in Mark's gospel, and it teaches you and comforts you. It teaches you some things about yourselves and how you think, how you live in this world in faith toward God, and in love toward your neighbor. And God has ordered and established your life in this way in the three estates of the church, family, and society. Ultimately, though, in this gospel reading, you see your Lord comforting you. As you see, Jesus had compassion on the people, and he has compassion on you. Now, the reading starts off in a very interesting way, and a few things jump out at us. Hear again what St. Mark recorded for us. In those days, when again a great crowd had gathered, and they had nothing to eat, he called his disciples to him and said to them, I have compassion on the crowd because they have been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way, and some of them have come from far away. Now, right off the bat, we see something very important in the context of this miracle. This crowd was with Jesus for 3 days, and we hear they now have nothing to eat. Why is that? Well, we don't know all the details, but we do know is that they were listening to Jesus. They were gathering around him, and some of them came from a great distance. They're not expecting him to give them bread or any type of food for that matter, as they sometimes are in other places. No, they're here with the Lord, and they don't have anything to eat. Their primary concern is to be around Jesus and where he is preaching. They are hearers of the word of God, and this is who God has called them to be, and this is who they are as his people. This is the most important vocation in this life. So let that first part sink in for a moment. Think about it in our lives when it seems like if we miss a meal or it gets pushed later, we don't forget it. Anytime the power goes off, right, and you can't open your refrigerator, I think I'm starving to death when I can't go in there and get a little snack. Or think about how entrenched we get and caught up in other things in our lives to the point that it seems mind-boggling that these people would get to this point. How many of us would be like these people who are with Jesus, and that's what they're concerned about? And the other things in this life are on the back burner. But it's not the case, is it? What do we get concerned about? Heaven forbid we miss a vacation, a game, a work, a meal, or even a doctor's appointment for the sake of hearing the word of God. People would call us crazy, or maybe we even think that's the way to some extent. But in some way, this crowd sure shames us in our lives. It also shames us as well when many of them came from far away to listen to Jesus. And we can't walk a short distance or drive in a car to hear God's word. What does that say about us when people had to walk on foot to get to hear Jesus and walk a long way? How easily do we forget, neglect, or simply put aside the vocation of hearer of God's word, this in living in faith toward God? Still, these people were hungry. They needed to eat. So what does God do? Well, listen again to those words recorded by St. Mark. In those days, when again a great crowd had gathered, and they had nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said to them, I have compassion on the crowd, because they have been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way, and some of them have come from far away." And his disciples answered him, "How can one feed these people with bread here in this desolate place?" And he asked them, "How many loaves do you have?" They said, 7. So Jesus acts. He works as only he can do. This account is the feeding of the 4,000. There's a parallel account in Matthew's gospel and a similar miracle in the feeding of the 5,000, and we have that account during the Lent season. In all of these accounts, though, Jesus is taking care of his people. And some, such as the case of the 5,000, even test his disciples before working this miracle of feeding all these people. Regardless, Jesus is taking care of his people by feeding them. He has compassion on them, for he is their Lord, who created them and still takes care of them. Just as Jesus preached to them and they heard his preaching, he saw what they needed and took care of them in the physical needs. So for you listening to this event in the life of your Lord, you see that you are not excluded in this care. God still takes care of you. Even as you pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," in the Lord's Prayer. Now, God might not be working this miracle like you heard in the reading, but his compassion and his care are still the same. God does this through the various vocations he calls you to in the church, the family, and the world. We think about these things then as we live in love toward our neighbor. As a Christian parent, it's humbling to be the instrument by which God has compassion for his children. Luther used that term we've heard before, the mask of God, when talking about giving of daily bread and the like in this world. As a Christian father and mother, you are a mask of God to your children. When you work and put food on the table for your children to eat, this is God feeding your children. It's not to say that you are God, that's not the case, but your children see God at work in their lives when they're taken care of by you. God is wearing a mask that looks like their father and their mother. In the case of my children, the mask of God is a little bit ugly. But this goes beyond parents, as God uses you in various vocations to take care of your neighbors, in whatever shape or form this may be. Doctors and nurses, for instance, are masks of God in healing people as they examine, diagnose, and administer care and give medication to their parents. Firemen rescue and help. Policemen protect and serve. Farmers are masks of God's creative work as they plant, tend, and harvest their crops. So you get the idea. God calls you to always remember this, and for what purpose you serve and work in these vocations, to tend and care for his people. Because work is good, and it has its place. You are to work and serve your neighbor, living in love toward him. Even before the fall into sin, God gave Adam work to do. In that reading from Genesis, it said, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it." So for a Christian then to think that he shouldn't work, or for him to despise working, is sinful. Sloth is sometimes misunderstood as being lazy, this one of the 7 deadly sins, but it goes beyond that, as the word is acidia. It means apathy to an extent, but it also is just a genuine lack of caring or thinking about your place in this world. You sometimes also hear it with the tagline, "the noonday devil." It's going through this life not considering who you are, not considering what you have been given to do, and even putting off what God commands you. Now, the greatest form of this is a sin against the 3rd commandment. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Because when someone doesn't care to hear God's word, he's refusing to live in that place and order that God has called him to live and be as a child of God by virtue of his baptism. It's the opposite of what you heard in the gospel reading today when these people were with Jesus for this time, sitting, hearing, listening to their Lord. Now then, in the estate of the world, God orders society around people, working, serving one another, in this order, living in love toward the neighbor. It starts first and foremost with a husband taking care of his wife, as husband and wife, man and woman united together in marriage by God, are the basis and foundation of society. Adam was to take care of and had charge over his wife Eve. Parents then are established in order to take care of their children and spirally out for there. You kind of look at your life and spiral out as you go from in this life. But you hear a lot in the news, though, about things like equity and whatever the latest buzzword of the day is. But something like socialism, communism, are so contrary to Christianity for many reasons. And just simply this case of work and serving our neighbor and God's order and how he takes care of us, it's not to say that you shouldn't take care of others and give, but what it does mean is that there is indeed different work, different classes of this, and it's good, it's godly. And yes, even having different authority, responsibilities, and wages are good too. When someone, C.F.W. Walther, the first president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, said in effect in one of his sermons, when someone tries to think they can put all people and all things on the same level and distribute it out, thinking they're creating heaven on earth, what you really end up creating is a living hell on earth. Because work is good. Working for the sake of your neighbor is good. Order and structure are good, for God is not a God of confusion or disorder. We saw this last week as well when we heard about the Ten Commandments, how God's law is good for our lives and for our good. And Jesus didn't come to abolish the law and the prophets, but to fulfill them. Now, another thing then Jesus teaches you is at the beginning of this reading and kind of points us back then to our priorities and focus as we do live in this world, as we live in our families, as we live in the world and how God has established it. So even the vocations you have in this life have a hierarchy or an order to them. Listen again to what Mark recorded. In those days, when again a great crowd had gathered and they had nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said to him, I have compassion on the crowd because they have been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. So remember then the thing about these people. These people were distracted. They had other things on their minds, and now they need to eat. But what was it that distracted them? It was Jesus, and more specifically, listening to Jesus teach. They were feasting on his word, and now they need food for their bellies. That also brings to mind then the story of Mary and Martha at the end of Luke 10. Remember that story? Now as they were on their way, Jesus entered a village and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care what my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary had chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. So Martha had Jesus at her house, and rather than sitting and listening to him, she was distracted and forgot about what is important. Because it's not to say that taking care of things in the house and serving a guest is a bad thing in and of itself, but what happened? She lost sight of the one thing necessary or needful, as some translations have it. Mary, her sister, sat and listened to Jesus. The people in the gospel reading were with Jesus 3 days and listening to him. So tying this all together, then, you see God takes care of you. And he does use you to take care of others. But none of this is set at or against the listening of our Lord. The epistle reading speaks about your freedom in Christ now that you have been baptized, as you heard about last week in the epistle reading. We heard a few minutes ago, when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? The end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification, and its end eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So what does this mean? As a Christian baptized into Christ, you have freedom in Christ. Freedom to listen to Jesus and freedom to serve your neighbor. Both of those things are true and what God has called you to do. You are a hearer of the word of God, living in faith toward him and in love toward one another. So use your freedom wisely as a Christian. Don't use it as an excuse or a cover-up for sin. Don't neglect, too, to serve your neighbor in the vocations that God has called you to serve and ordered in your life. But remember, God is a God of order. put all things in their proper place, and realize that everything comes from and it is brought all about because your Lord is compassionate, taking care of your needs of body and soul. Your life in Christ is formed, shaped, and is a fruit of the redemption you have in Christ. Take yourself away from his forgiveness, his life, his salvation, given to you in the means of grace, where he feeds you in body and soul with the gifts that he has won for you. And then separate yourself from that and you go back into that slavery to sin, that slavery that you were rescued from. Not only that, but your faith will starve to eternal death. It won't be just your belly starving. Your prayer then is what you prayed for a few minutes ago in the collect of the day. O God, whose never-failing providence orders all things both in heaven and earth, we humbly implore you to put away from us all hurtful things and to give us those things that are profitable for us. Dear people of God, listen to the miracle your Lord did out of his great compassion. And he directed the crowd to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves, and having given thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples to set before the people. And they set them before the crowd. And they had a few small fish. And having blessed them, he said that these also should be set before them. And they ate and were satisfied. And they took up the broken pieces left over 7 baskets full. And there were about 4,000 people. And he sent them away. Find great comfort in what your Lord has done, because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same God who created Adam and Eve, who put them in the Garden of Eden, is the same God who fed the 4,000 in the Gospel reading. And he's the same God who has redeemed you. God will not forsake you in this world or in the life to come. He hears and answers your prayers, not because of how hard you pray or how great your faith is. He does this only out of his compassion. How do you know this is true? How do you know your Lord takes care of you? How do you know that he does indeed have compassion on you, even as he had compassion on his people? Well, Jesus is crucified for you. Your sin has been washed away in the waters of baptism. He sends you a preacher to deliver to you his forgiveness. Today he's sending you another preacher as well, having even more compassion. The Lord feeds you with his own body and blood given and shed for you. Your sin is forgiven and you have eternal life. What a joy it is to have this, to behold all of this today as you sit here listening to Jesus. He has compassion on you. He blesses you. He feeds you. He grants you the new life to live in faith toward him and in fervent love toward one another. And so he sends you on your way now and into eternity. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.